So again, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. We got quite a load of them in here. And that's one of the strengths of this church is to have a lot of godly men, a lot of God, good leadership. And such a thing that's missing today. And so I'm grateful to God that he keeps on raising up men, not just Christians, but men of God. Amen? Praise God. Lead their homes and their strength in the workplace. They're a light in the world, a salt in the world. And all of us need to be that. But it's so important that God has called men to lead, that we take that role serious and be what God would have us to be. Some, I don't know how many years, maybe probably about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I probably don't have every detail of the story right, but Matt Madden, he was driving down Beloit Road, driving, I guess, going east towards our church, and he saw Aaron and Donnie out on the porch. This is on a Wednesday night after Bible study. And I guess he thought Aaron was a Muslim, right? And an angry Muslim is talking. You know how passionate he gets. And so he thought, as a Christian, having a discussion with a Muslim, or a Muslim trying to convert to Christian. But anyways, on the way back, they were still there. So he pulls over. And, hey, what's up, guys? Goes and talks with them. Well, after, I guess, Donnie left after a little bit, and him and Matt and Aaron were in your car, right? Out on the porch till like 2 in the morning? Just talking about the Lord. 3 in the morning. Okay. So that's, that must have been an exciting discussion. You get talking about the Lord, it can go for a long time, no doubt. But anyways, Aaron invited Matt to come to church. And so we happened to have fellowship Sunday, that particular Sunday. Matt was going to go to his church, but he decided that he would come over and visit us. So we are all introduced to Matt that day. And that was the start of this love relationship. So anyways, everybody's got to meet. You can never fall in love if you don't meet. So we were within the next week or so, we were doing one of our remnant church outreaches. For those of you that are new to the church, the Lord just put it on my heart and our church to start trying to reach the remnant believers that are scattered all over the state of Wisconsin that were just in dead churches. So many people are saying, I don't know where to go to church anymore. And we thought, well, if we could go to a little area and do a little revival meeting, maybe the Lord, some of the remnant would come and we could start encouraging them to get together and, maybe have a little fellowship there and we could help facilitate leadership to whatever degree, even to the point of starting a church, which we did in Columbus, Wisconsin. But we were in Wisconsin Rapids that particular Friday and Saturday. We would do a service Friday night. I'd preach that, and Aaron would preach Saturday morning, and then I would preach Saturday afternoon. And I think that Wisconsin Rapids was probably one of the places we had the most attendance. We had, through the three meetings, we've had over 40 people come. And Ray, you came there with Eli, right? Some other people you knew there too. And some of these people we met in the remnant church outreaches, we've continued in relationship. And Marvin and Candy are here from Hayward, Wisconsin, because of our outreach. So if anything came out of it, just having you guys made it all worthwhile. Amen? Amen. So anyways, we were up at Wisconsin Rapids at the hotel, and Matt Madden comes strolling in that Friday night for the service, and he drove all the way up from, Milwaukee to attend our remnant church outreach he saw in the paper, in the Wisconsin Christian News. So we invited him to come and stay in our hotel, and he's going to go at the campground. So he went and slept at the campground, and Saturday morning, he shows up again and for Aaron to preach. Well, then after our meeting, we were going to head over to Dwayne Schultz's house for about a half hour away. We're going to spend a late morning and early afternoon at his house. Carolyn was going to make us some lunch and pecan pie maybe or whatever. And we invited Matt to come along with us. So, Steve, are you there too? Do you remember? Okay, so it was Steve and Aaron and I and Matt. And Penny was with us in the car. Did you write? I was just thinking of in our car. So anyways, so we head down, drive down to the Dwayne Schultz, and Matt's talking to us. And then he's just telling us basically all of the pressure that his pastor put on him. That he's got to do this and do that. And he called himself the poster boy of church work. So whatever, and his pastor would bring a new believer about a year in the Lord, would put him up in front of the people and say, you need to be like Matt, you know. And it's like, boy, what a way to help fill somebody's head with pride to do that, huh? But anyways, and we're just listening to him talk. Now, I've heard this phrase, I'm sure, before that, maybe quoted it, maybe read an article, heard somebody preach it. But it was from that day when I said this that this became something I say often, and I say it with conviction. And I say it with authority, and I'm confident when I say it to someone that it'll do a work in their life. So Matt's going on talking, and I said, Matt, quit doing all of these things. You just need to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's what I told him. So he says, well, I never heard anybody say that before. Or I never heard a minister say that before. Well, you did now. But anyways, just recently someone asked me, what do I mean when I say you just need to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus? And sometimes one of my faults is I assume everybody knows what I mean when I say things, and a lot of people know what I mean by saying that. They at least know the story that comes from. But we have new believers in here that may never even have read that story of that I'm going to be reading here in a moment. So I just, Lord, put it on my heart that I want to preach to you what I mean, what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus. So we're going to read out of Luke chapter 10. Verses 38-42. And I'm convinced that this is, you know, when Lazarus was raised from the dead in John chapter 11. And in John chapter 12, it starts off that Jesus was over at Martha and Mary's house. But I believe this incident is before that, because this is where, because it said when that Jesus loved Lazarus when he went to raise him from the dead, so he had to have a relationship with him before. So I believe this is where Jesus and Martha and Mary and John, our Lazarus relationship started in this chapter. So, Lord, I just ask you to bless the preaching and make clear, Lord, invitation, Lord, that I'm giving this morning to sit at the feet of your Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. And learn from him. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 10, 38-42. Now it happened as they went that he, that's Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. I always like that. It's just God just randomly picks people. God randomly does things with people, just certain people. You're a certain people that God has got a hold of. In this big old world of billions of people, he shined down his love on you and called you to serve him and live for him. What a privilege we have today. But he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. So there we go, sitting at the feet of Jesus. But Martha was distracted with much serving. I like the King James says, cumbered. Kind of like that word. Martha was distracted and cumbered with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So I got a few points here of what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it starts out with Mary sitting where? At his feet. What does that represent? And Brother Jeff Lee preached it well last week, but I want to cover it again. It's a place of humility. To sit at someone's feet can be a stinky place, right? I've had someone wash my feet in Romania once, and it was kind of an odd thing. But it was an act of humility for him to wash my feet. Felt good, though, kind of, and get by the weirdness of it. But she sat at this place of humility at Jesus' feet. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you can see even in that day that it was a place of humility. "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit here at my footstool.'" That must be a bad place to sit at a humble place to sit at the feet of Jesus. But you know, all men in this world are there because God says, "Heaven is my throne, and what? The earth is my footstool." Praise God, you and I are at the feet of Jesus willingly. Amen. This world hates that place of a humble position. But you and I go there willingly, and we had to be there, every one of us, whether you're at that place now in your walk with the Lord, but you had to be there at one time. Every one of us had to get at the feet of Jesus and humble ourselves before him, acknowledge we are a sinner, repent, and have him save us. So we are all in that position. You know, there are millions out there, millions and millions of people that would jump at the chance to sit at Bill Gates's feet. Would they not? None of you would, I would hope. None of you would turn your nose up at that. But millions and millions of people would want to sit there. Why? Hoping that he might look down at them and give them some money or give them a high position or something. But we get to sit at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He lets us come there. Most of the days of our lives, no doubt, are busy with the cares of life. And we may not, I'm not necessarily at the feet of Jesus right now, but I'll tell you, I couldn't be here if I didn't practice being at the feet of Jesus. The Lord made, from that day, Matt, when I said that to you in the car, that became something just ingrained in me, something I got. Maybe it meant more to me when I said it than to you. But I got something in that, and I've learned. The Lord taught me, even in prayer, it's like, I'm not going to come barging into his presence with my big prayer list and really go at it and really go after the devil and everything. I'm going to go humbly in his presence. I'm going to get at his feet, and I'm going to learn him. Then, imagine how effective my prayers can be after I just got done snuggling up with the Father. It works on us. When our kids come and butter us up, they really, their motive is they want to hit you up for $5. $5 is nothing anymore. I'm talking about my day. They want to hit you up for a pool or something, And and they come and snuggle up. And boy, if there's any chance you're going to give in, that's the moment when they come. And the Lord invites us to come and sit at his feet and snuggle up with him. And it's from that place you can go on out in this world and not necessarily be at his feet, but have come from that place, and you're out there in victory, and you're out there in power and confidence. So that is the first thing that this is what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus, number one, to come humbly, sit there, and often be quiet. We don't always have to be saying a lot of things. Learn like Job's last friend that waited until it was his turn when he just had to let that burn in him. But just to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. The second thing that we see is that Mary just wanted to be in his presence. There was things going on, serving going on, but she was just too enamored, so to speak, with Jesus, wanting to be there with him. So she kind of became oblivious, so to speak. Have you ever gotten that place where you're just really connecting with the Lord and you just kind of become oblivious to what's going on? You know, a nuclear missile could have been dropped in a city in America at that moment, and you'd be like, wouldn't bother you. You're oblivious to what's going on. And this is what Mary was. She was in his presence and just was soaking up this moment to be with him. I know, Pastor Tyler, you've been emphasizing over the last month and even more and reemphasizing to need to be in the presence of Jesus, be in the presence of the Lord. So I don't really need to say too much more of that, but just, again, thinking of the amazing opportunity that you and I have to every day be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, and he invites us to come and sit at his feet. He still does that today, and he still does that today. Back then, he could only do it one house at a time, but today it says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." I guess you kind of did that this morning, Joey. The Lord's been knocking on your heart, and you opened the door, and you let him in. And this verse is often used for evangelism. But when you read it in the context of who it was written to the lukewarm Laodicean church. And then, of course, this principle applies to what happened with Joey this morning. But here is that we see that no matter where you are in your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord could be really dwindling, could really be teetering, could just like not be much of anything in your life anymore. But Jesus is still will come and knock on your door, and you can still open the door, and he will still come in and dine with you and sup with you, and you can have personal fellowship with God Almighty. Hallelujah. The world will never, ever get that, and maybe some of us here don't, that we have personal fellowship with God. You know, an atheist says they don't believe in God. Well, they would if they knew him. you can see me walking around without my wife, and you say, "I don't believe you have a wife." Well, if you met her, you would. You know, if you'd see her, you would. And we know God. We just know him. Nobody can knock you off of that. It's not a religion. He is our Father. He is our God. And happy Father's Day to our Father. Amen. Yeah, I don't know if he even cares about that kind of stuff. Every day should be Father's Day to him. Every day we should honor him. Every day we should give him the glory. So if Jesus knocks on the door of the backslidden, lukewarm Laodicean church, who thought they had everything, who thought they were in need of nothing, but did not know that they were wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And if he knocks on the door and they open it, he will come in. Maybe you need to, if he's knocking on your door right now, open up. Let him in. And he'll come and dine with you and sup. It's one thing to have someone stop over and stand in your hall and talk to you for a couple minutes. It's another thing when you invite them to the supper table. Amen? They kind of become a part of the household. So The third thing I want to say is while Mary was at the feet of Jesus, she just wasn't sitting there in his presence. She was listening to what he had to say. That must have been an awesome thing. I've seen the young guys in this church when I'd bring in some of the preachers that we've had, especially when Brother Clendenin came into town and he was staying over at my house. And he says, hey, a bunch of the young guys want to come and talk. Can they come over? And he goes, oh, yeah, as long as they don't keep me up too late. So, I don't know, six, seven guys, the young guys came over. They just wanted to hang around with the man of God. And it was a wonderful time. But we get one up on that. We get to be in the presence of Jesus and hear what he has to say. Amen. And there is no reason to sit at Jesus' feet. And there is no fulfillment in that if you don't listen to what he has to say. If you don't obey what he has to say. He's saying things specifically to you. He's saying things in his relationship with you that you need to hear. Somebody else needs to hear something else. This person needs something else. But it's a time of you and him. And I've said it so many times, and I'll say it again, that it's an amazing thing to me that I can have, and this is exactly how I feel. Maybe you might think I'm too full of myself or something, but my relationship with the Lord is like it's him and I is number one. And I'm convinced, or at least I should say that if it's not like that with you, it can be. And I know that is true with many of you. You feel the same way as I do. That's why it's not arrogant. It's, man, God, you make me feel like I'm the most important person in the world. Just like you, husbands, you're supposed to do with your wife. Wives, you're supposed to do with your husband. Make them feel. I say to Joy, I'm the only man. I've said it to her hundreds and maybe thousands of times in our 40-some years of marriage. I'm the only guy in the world that gets you. There's billions of men in the world, but I get to get you. You know? And that's how I feel with the Lord. You know, and you should too. You should feel like you and him are the number one. And he has that same kind of relationship with me and he will with you. If you do it, it's up to you though. Because he's knocking and he'll let you. Come on, sit at my feet. I got many wonderful things to tell you. There are people who want to be in charge of their own life, so they don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. I've told you that story. A couple of Aaron's best buddy when we were growing up lived across the street, and they weren't saved, and his parents knew we were, and we'd go over and talk with them and hang around a little bit. And one time I was telling his buddy Brian's mom something the Bible said. I says, go get your Bible, I'll show you. And she wouldn't go get it because she didn't want to hear what God had to say. Because you know what happens when you hear what God has to say? That makes you accountable. So people, that's why you can get in your prayer closet and you start getting close to God and all of a sudden you get distracted. You could say it's the devil, and it might be, but it might be a part of you that says, ooh, I'm afraid I'm going to hear more than I want to. You might not know it, but there might be something in you that says, this is going a little bit farther than I really want to hear. But I want to encourage you to let him speak, because it's never anything to your harm. In fact, if you obey him and you fulfill that, you will find blessings upon blessings, whatever that looks like in the whole realm of God and the kingdom of God, blessings upon blessings if you obey those time when and talk. I never read in the Bible anywhere, Terry Fisher, you are to be a pastor. I got that from sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's where I heard that. And I would never hear that if I never got at his feet. And it was there that I heard that I pursued that life, that became the chief goal of my life, not disregarding my marriage and family and all of that, but the chief work of my life from that moment on was to fulfill the call of God in my life that I heard at his feet. If I'd have never been there, I would have never heard it. If you haven't been at the feet of Jesus, you are deprived of many wonderful things that the Lord wants to speak to you and show you. And it might not be calling. In fact, most, it won't be a calling into the ministry. It won't be asking you to go on to a martyr's death, though it could be. But for most of us, it won't be. It'll be like we always call the sweet little nothings that whisper. But they are something if God whispers them. Amen? There's people who enjoy this present life and are not mindful of eternity, have no interest in what some man 2,000 years ago said. But they don't understand that he's still saying it today. Because his word is eternal. What he said 2,000 years ago is just as good today as the day he said it. Things you and I have said have been long gone and forgotten. But not what he says. It's eternal. It's life. So they don't understand that he's still saying it. And you and I have the privilege to sit at his feet and hear what he has to say. Because just as he spoke to Mary and spoke wonderful things that day, he's still doing that today. And it's from that place at the feet of Jesus that we rise to do the works that glorify our Father and have spiritual results. I cannot help but think this generation of believers is going to have the most burnt works. I just can't help but to think that because we've done a lot of things. In fact, some minister from China came over and said he's amazed at what Americans can do without the Holy Spirit. He was impressed with all of our ingenuity and in our inventions and our cleverness, what we could do without the Holy Spirit. And everything we've done without the Holy Spirit will burn, though we will be saved. We're not talking a salvation thing. We're talking about just works that we thought we were doing for God. So Martha, she approached Jesus in a sense. And I was thinking about it. She really kind of like challenged Jesus. She actually questioned his lack of concern. And a person can only do that, and here's what I'm thinking, a person can do that when they consider their works as the thing God is the most impressed with. Martha had to think that this is what Jesus cares about the most. Me clanging around with the dishes and doing this and preparing a table and all that. This is what's the most important to Jesus. But we know the Lord tells us something else is more important. This is the one reason why people who have practiced good works according to their standards, people's good works are always according to their standards. It's like, well, I'm not like the murderer. Now let's find somebody worse. And they decide what's good works. And I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'm talking about unsaved people. And that's why it's so hard for them to get saved. Because years and years of doing good works, they get this self-confidence. And then they get this self-centeredness and self-esteem and all of these things. I've been doing all of this and God is so happy for me all of these years and they never ever come to know him. And it's hard to get them kind of people saved because I've seen it. I've witnessed the people that are so wrapped up in good works, and I could tell, I could see it computing. At least it looked like it. If I could see a tape come out, I think it would read this. But it's like, that means all of these things I did for him mean nothing. And as you rip that tape out and throw it in the garbage and start all over, it's like, look at what I've become. And it will not get saved. So Jesus said, after Martha challenged him, he says, but one thing is needed. Well, he said to her, you're all busy with all of this stuff, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. So this is the reason I tell young believers to sit at the feet of Jesus. Seems like I'm missing something here. Maybe I got my order wrong. Okay. Anyways, I guess I'll trust my notes here. So this is the reason I tell young believers to sit at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because it's needful. They need to. That's what Jesus said. It's needful for Mary to be there. It's necessary for every believer to be at this position and at this place, this humble position, if they're going to grow in Christ. I'm not talking about going there to get saved, and then away you go. I'm talking about a continual life of sitting at the feet of Jesus. It is necessary for that to be if you want to grow in the Lord. Now, in defense of Martha, I know a lot of people like to give a defense for to Martha, but he didn't say to Martha, you and Mary both needed to do this. She probably did. I don't know. But it doesn't say that she did. And it says, he didn't say to Mary, he didn't say Mary chose the better, but you, Martha, did not. Basically, what he said is, Mary, you have chosen what is needful for you. Now, it probably was needful for Martha. I don't know. But the point is that you're not like continually 100% there. But when you get to the feet of Jesus, then you can get up and minister. It's because, again, I've been at the feet of Jesus that I can get up here away from his feet to minister his life. He did tell Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Is there anybody in here this morning that is worried and troubled about maybe not many things, but even some things? We got one hand up. And what is so bad about this is these are the things that actually keep us away from the feet of Jesus. We start dwelling on these worries and these troubles. I'm sure Brother Chris is troubled a little bit that he lost one of his workers for a couple weeks. Huh? What are you going to do? Go to the feet of Jesus, right? But worry from the Greek means to be anxious about. And that's the part of worry that I hate. You know what it's like when you get that anxious tension in you? It's like twisting your inner man. And you just feel like, oh, you just can't like quit thinking about it. And you can't help but quit worrying about it. Well, this is what he was saying Martha was like. She's got all of this inner things that are this tension and worry that's going on in her life. Some of the synonyms of anxious are nervous, uneasy. If you want to know what nervous is, look at me when I preach. I'm a nervous guy. Uneasy, apprehensive, restless. I like that restless. I always got to get my hands to do something. Fretful and fearful. This is all bottled up in worry and in anxiousness. And then he said that she was troubled. There's that song, Bridge Over Troubled Water. I never thought about that till now. But trouble means to muddy the waters so you can't see clear. And so this is what happens when we get anxious. And when pressures of life are bearing down on us, we just cannot happen. We just can't see clear. We say things that we normally wouldn't say. We do things that we normally wouldn't do. We're confused and we're clouded because of this anxiousness and worry and trouble in our life. And this is the exact time when you need to go to the feet of Jesus to get delivered from the worries of life and the troubles of life. But so many get sucked into that. Probably some this morning that are thinking, I did. It happened to me. I got sucked into it this morning. I got sucked into it on the way here. Somebody said something to me in the hall, and I got sucked into it. They tell preachers don't talk with people before church. I break that rule, but I get why they say it. Because sometimes people unload stuff on you, and you got to go up and start in 5 minutes. It's not a fun thing. And sometimes people say stupid things in body ministry before I go up and preach. I don't say that to get you afraid to say something. That's what I always fear. I want you, if you feel the unction of the Lord, to speak. So Mary at this particular time found herself engaged and drawn into Jesus. And we can't know for sure if it was more needful for Martha, but it certainly was for Mary. And there's going to be times it might not be needful for your husband or your wife or your children or your mom and dad, your brother and sister in Christ, but it'll be needful for you to get at the feet of Jesus. Amen? That's for you to determine. That's for the Lord to determine in your life. And then we have Pastor Martha. Pastors can be like Martha, as the story of Matt tells us. Instead of recognizing what is more needful for people, for what is needful for any particular sheep, they put all kinds of expectations, put all kinds of demands on the new believers and sometimes old believers, and actually keep them from being at the more needful place. I'm confident of this. If I can preach you or teach you or encourage you to get at the feet of Jesus, all that other stuff will flow out of that. But I'm not a fool to stand up here and decide for you what's the best thing for you to do for the Lord and determine this is the ministry you need to do. You ever hear of the shepherding movement? It's where everybody in the church goes to their pastor. And like, I'm applying for a new job, or I got this job offer. What do you think? Can I do it and all that? And I'm like, what pastor would ever want to shepherd something like that? Drive me insane. I'd become responsible for everything you did in your life, and you would love to be able to blame me for when it doesn't go right. You know, I'm an under shepherd. He's the shepherd. You go to him. I'll encourage you, and I'll pray with you, and I'll bear witness of the Spirit with you. In Acts chapter 13, they were fasting and praying, prophets in the church, and it said to them, set apart Saul and Barnabas. Well, they already knew they had to call. There was a bearing witness together. I'll be a part of that, but I'm not going to determine anything for you as far as your relationship with the Lord, what the Lord would have you to do. You got to get at the feet of Jesus and find that out yourself. He has many things there waiting for you that you have not taken yet that you could have if you'd have been there. I know it's the needful place. That's where I want you to go. I'm not patting myself on the back. The Lord has taught me and showed me things. I mean, he's supposed to. He's the one that equips, right? It's him. It's him and me. Could have missed that. That's an inside joke. Listen to this. Never use sitting at the feet of Jesus to hide your laziness. I'm not doing that. I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. So we can use that to hide our laziness. How about this one? I'm so busy sitting at the feet of Jesus, I don't have time for you, church. I don't have time for individual members of the body of Christ. I'm so spiritual. I'm in my prayer closet all the time. I'm at the feet of Jesus, and he's called me to this deep relationship. It's him and I, and it doesn't include you. You're not a part of this, and you're not a part of it. It's everything about him and I, and I don't have time for you. I'll tell you what, if you sit at the feet of Jesus, you will be a blessing to the body. You will love the body. Okay, you're looking at the man that sitting at the feet of Jesus. You're in the presence of the man that had perfect love, that died for the sins of every person in this world as they smote him, as they cursed him and mocked him. He loved them back and died for them. No doubt there had to be some of those guards, you would think. Well, we know one for sure, John Wayne in that one movie, the one soldier. Well, some of them guys had to get saved. Guys that were a part of the crucifixion. I don't know what's with my itchy nose this morning. So when I say to saints that they need to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus, I have never, ever meant that they don't have to ever do anything. I've never, ever meant that. But when I said it to Matt, I said, slow down. Stop that for now. Did you ever have to do that? Like you're making something, you're doing something, and you realize you got off on the wrong track, and like you're coloring a picture, for example, and all of a sudden you made some errors, and you're writing a letter. And you're saying this and that. I know today we can delete it, but write in a letter, say this and that, and you look at it like, you crunch it up, throw it in the garbage. What do? You start all over. That's all I was saying, Matt. I was never saying to anybody, don't. In fact, you just heard me say we need to obey him. But I was never saying don't. I was just saying get at the feet of Jesus and learn how to obey him. Learn the best way to obey him. I never ever meant that we don't have to obey the word of God. I never meant that there isn't a life of good works, because Ephesians 2:10 tells us that's what we're saved for. You and there will be good works. If you're born again, there will be good works coming out of your life. And if you want to get to it, get at the feet of Jesus. That was Watchman Nee's mentor that told him it is better to be than to do. Meaning it's better to be the Christian, the man of God, than to do all of these things. And you can be certain if you be the Christian, you will do. It'll flow from your life. So all I ever meant and mean is that it is the feet of Jesus. It is at his feet that when we learn him, the person. Amen. This is when it takes us from religion to relationship. This is when it keeps us from brings us from the peripheral, or what you call the outer camp there, and it brings us in to him, personal relationship with him. It is at the feet of Jesus when you hear him talk to you and speak wonderful things into your life. It is from his feet that you go forward and do works that need no repentance. Didn't they talk about that in Hebrews? Doing works, you know, unto repentance. He's like, keep on starting this thing over and over. But it's then you can go and do things that really honor the Lord. It is from his feet that you do works that are effectual. We just don't want to do things. We want them to have a purpose. We want them to have a result. That's what Jesus said. My word will never come back void. Whether it saves or damns, it's doing something. That's what his word does. It is from his feet that you go forward and do works that will not burn up at the Bema seat. You know what? I'm going to spare myself all of that. I'm going to repent of them now. And the Lord forgot about them. I don't have to worry about them burning. Amen? I'm just going to do the works that honor him. It is at his feet that you forget the worries and troubles of life. Those worries and troubles don't go away. They don't vanish. They're there when you get away, when you leave his feet. But I'll tell you, it's there at his feet that your faith grows stronger. And it's from his feet you can go, okay, come at me now, trouble and trial. I'm ready for you. I'm ready to go forward. My faith has just been encouraged. My faith has just been strengthened, because I've been just sitting and looking in the eyes of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So one thing you can count on when you get up from spending time at the feet of Jesus, that you'll get up more like him. Amen. When you knelt down, you were like him. And when you get up, you've grown a little bit more. A little more like him. Next time you skill it at his feet, you're like him, and you get up a little bit more like him. And that is going to continue to progress and grow in your life until one day you'll be fully known as he knows you. Amen? We'll be complete in him. But you can sure help the process along by getting before him at his feet every day. It's at his feet that you get to know him more. So there are a lot of things we can do in life that have no lasting value. Some things we do are just in vain. I don't know why I think of this stupid story, but I was going to build a tripod one time for deer hunting. And I cut some wood, three things, and I bought some hinges, and I'm going to make it so I can set it up in some brush, and I sit up on top of it, you know, and I can shoot deer from it. And I'm getting this thing all done, and I put my ladder against it to climb up there, and it all fell over and busted. And I just, like, cut the wood up and used it for something else, quit doing it. You could say I spent that couple hours in vain doing this thing that just fell apart. Well, we do a lot of things like that, even spiritually, that are in vain. They don't have any lasting value to them. But any time, this is what's so great, any time it's devoted to the Lord, any time you invest in the Lord can never be taken away. There's never a second of your life before the Lord that's in vain when you go before him. It just continues to grow and you become more like him. And this will go on for all eternity. So at the conclusion of this message, certainly the altar is open. If you want to, if something's in you saying, I want to get at the feet of Jesus right now, we can open the altar. Jeremy, you can come up and play a song. I'm not necessarily ending it with an altar call, but instead, what I'm preaching is from this moment on. You know, altar calls are wonderful. A lot of things happen at them. One of the negative effects of an altar call is someone comes and they grab a hold of the Lord or something, and they go home and they just go about their business and soon forget what happened. To me, what's more important is you leave with this instilled, what was preached in your heart, and you go on to live, not come and sit at the feet of Jesus here at the altar, but that this becomes a life that you go on to live every day. So I'm encouraging you and challenging you, just let it start today. You might not even know how to do that. You might not say, I don't know, Pastor, if I even really get what you're saying yet. Well, ask the Lord. I just assume everybody gets that, but there's everything that we can understand in the natural mind. And any of you saints that have been believers for a while, there's things, every one of you know what I'm talking about. There's things you get in the natural mind that you read, but one day you get it spiritually. And that's probably what happened to me that day with Matt in the car. I probably heard that phrase, sit at the feet of Jesus, maybe heard someone preach it or something. But that day I got it different. I understood it. This is a life. This is something real. This isn't just a little story that happened in the Bible. This is a personal thing that each of us can live. So I'm going to open the altar if you want to come up. Otherwise, I'm just going to close in prayer, and I encourage you to live that life sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the great privilege we have that we can sit at your feet, Lord, each and every day, Lord. I pray, God, that we're stirred, Lord, and we've made a commitment in our heart, Lord, and with your help, God, we want to learn each day to sit at your feet, Lord. We want to hear from you personally, Lord. You speak wonderful things to us, Lord, and we deprive ourselves so much, Lord, by not hearing what you have to say, Lord. So I just pray, God, just do something in us. Stir us, Lord, God. Remind us every day, Lord, that you're standing at the door knocking, and you want to come in and dine with us. You want to come in and sup with us. You want to have sweet fellowship with us. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, as we leave this place today, you bless all of the fathers, God, and their families. Lord, just bless our day, giving us such beautiful weather, Lord. May we enjoy it. God, may we honor you in all that we say and do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.